All right, John, go ahead.
It's okay, you can go highs.
Dang. All right, happy Monday. Here we are back live over the internet radio, BBS. Welcome to this episode. At Winfrey and Terry Brown, they are located in Sedona, Arizona. Today it is June the 8th, 2020. 1 hour, let's see what happens. A wild card, as usual. I thank everyone for being here.
You know, I wouldn't mind doing highs, but I'm also doing the website right now, too.
Well, I'm glad that you're here, John, and did greet to begin with. I appreciate it.
I appreciate your work, too. I at least you helped.
All right, man. Like brothers in arms.
Yeah.
Let's see. We have still 7 minutes. Sorry, 3 minutes till the hour. How you doing, Debbie?
Well, hi. Sorry, I had a mouthful of water. I'm doing fine, honey. Thank you.
All right, all right.
It's hot, though.
Yeah,
it's like 93 here, I think. Yeah.
We've had here two very hot weeks, but right now it's a lot milder today. Yesterday, too. Yeah.
Very windy here. Blew my umbrella over.
All right, here, too. Here, too. Yeah, yesterday, particularly.
Where is everybody? There they are.
Hello, anybody there? This is Jeannie.
Everybody's here. Welcome, Jeannie.
Hi, Jeannie.
Hi.
Good to have you.
Thank you. Good to be here.
All right. All right. Well, I hope everyone had a pleasant Monday so far. And
depends what you consider pleasant. You know, the highs that my work calling back as far as recall, but the bad news is that I spoke to several drivers, and the strip is deader than dead. It's not even like a quarter open right now. You know, like most casinos are so close. So how are you supposed to make money, go back to work and make money, and enough to even support yourself and pay bills if you're not even making enough to pay your rent? So how are you going to do that?
Mm-hmm.
And they're not expecting it to return to normal for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a tough situation you're in, John.
Well, the summer is typically a non-tourist season, so all the busy season is already over.
Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Yeah, hi, it's Lauren from Forks, Washington.
Hello,
Hello
Lauren.
Lauren.
Hello,
hi, Lauren.
Lauren.
Howdy. Gosh, it's 6 o'clock. Where's the drum roll?
Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hello, hi. This is Jane in Pennsylvania.
Hi, Jane. Welcome.
Hi, Jane.
Hi. Hi, Lauren.
And if you just joined in online through BBS Radio, welcome to this episode, The Wild Card with Winfrey. Happy Monday. We'll be going here briefly.
Gosh, I thought there'd be more people on that line already.
I think Kai says something he's doing that keeps calling him away or something.
I'm here.
Hi.
Hello.
You're a busy boy, aren't you?
Well, depends on how you see it. Good evening and welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location. but of course, only if you would like to do so. We welcome you.
Anybody there?
Yes, we're here. Welcome. Hi, Don.
Welcome to the call. Would you like to say your name and location? But only if you want to. Why the silent treatment?
I don't know. When I came on, it was silent, too.
Hi, Lauren.
Hi.
Hi, John.
Hi, is that Jeannie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi, Jeannie.
Hi. I don't know. We're quiet today for some reason.
Yeah, what are we going to talk about? It's just four of
us. I don't know.
I'll have to look at my notes.
Maybe Terry or Phil at happy hour.
I have all these pages of notes of things I want to look into, and I can't remember where they are.
Nope.
Lauren, I was looking at that Fizymes. Is that like a better quality or something? It's pretty expensive. I was talking about another brand that they liked. It seemed to have about the same ingredients in there, but maybe the quality's not the same. Who knows?
Well, the different strokes for different folks. The Fizymes are particularly for cardiovascular system and heart reconstruction, systemic and proteolytic enzymes.
Welcome to the call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Hi, Janine from Salt Lake City.
Hi, Janine.
Hi, Janine.
Welcome to the call.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Janine.
Hi.
We have some other callers. Would you like to say your names and locations?
Yes, I would.
Hi, Antonio.
Uh-huh. Hi, Antonio.
Hi, Antonio.
Hi, Antonio. Would you like to say your name and location?
Yes, I would. That's why I forgot. Antonio in California.
That Antonio.
Hi, Antonio.
Hi, Don. Hi, Debbie. Hi, Lauren.
Hi.
Hi, Jeannie.
Lauren, I gathered this from reading when I was reading that it clean your blood out, sort of. It cleans, like, can dissolve proteins and junk that might be in your blood.
Yes.
Sounds like it.
Amongst other things, yes. And it's balanced so that it has a wider range. Like, you can have pretty much the same enzyme. A strain and doesn't do dolly squat.
Yeah, right.
Because the pH is off. So this has been specifically selected and combined and such so that it'll work. So it'll actually function properly. Do what you think it will do. You know what I mean?
Sometimes you get what you pay for.
We had another call joining. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Cecil from Seattle. Yes,
welcome,
Cecil.
Hi, Cecil.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Sometimes you're saving money and you buy something cheaper and doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
Of course, I don't think I need to reconstruct my heart. I think my heart's in pretty good shape. Also, what got me interested in that was serapeptase, and those don't even have serapeptase in there, so I'm not sure if I even need that or what the deal is.
I don't know either. If I'm not mistaken, it used to be in that formula. That could be mistaken.
It's not there now, I can tell you that much.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I read somebody other information source talking about serapeptase, and they specifically mentioned it's supposed to be able to dissolve scar tissue in your body. That's the main selling point on that one.
Yeah. Yeah, and it depends on the form of serapeptase it is, too.
And there you go again. I was going to buy the $6 bottle from Swanson.
The problem I have with Swanson products is you have to be very discriminatory about it. They'll have preservatives in it, and that counteracts the benefits.
Mm-hmm. So I have a feeling you get a lot of stuff from China, and they have no quality control whatsoever.
I'm outside again today, and Mother Earth is not breathing as hard as she was yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Was she inhaling or exhaling yesterday?
Both, hopefully.
She was exhaling. I think that I was put on mute yesterday because of all the...
Right. That'd be cool.
Now, that's why.
Welcome
to call, like, see your name and location.
Yeah, hi, Don. Positive greetings from Sedona. It's Raiden.
Hi, Raiden. Welcome to the call.
Welcome, Raiden. And the next caller, we welcome you. Thank you for being here.
But, oh. but nothing.
And the next person that joined in, we welcome you. Please say a name and location.
Hi, this is Terry in Sedona.
Hey, welcome
to you,
Terry.
Hi. Terry, you forgot who you were for a second.
Yeah. No idea.
she had so many names, she wasn't sure which one to use.
Remember which life this was.
Good and bright
chipper. She had to remember which life she was in.
Terry, you sound really good and bright and chipper.
Oh, thank you.
Did you go to happy hour?
No, I was wishing I would.
Oh. Yeah.
It's always happy hour.
It's good to see the bartender. We never order any drinks, alcohol, but we enjoy going. Hello,
welcome, Wynn.
I'd like to see your name and
location.
Hi.
Hi, Wynn.
Welcome to the call. If people would like to see your names and locations, go ahead.
Wanda from Leventhal.
Hi, Wanda.
Hello, everyone.
Anybody else?
Did I say hello? Oh, I did say hello.
Yeah.
Hello, Wynn.
Short-term memory loss, Wynn.
That's right. I'm ready.
All your years of hedonism are catching up with you.
I'll thank everyone for being here, also those listening online.
Muted.
So here we go. It is the 8th.
The recording has started.
Hey, guys. This is June 8th, 2020. When... And Terry in Sedona and everybody everywhere. And this is our wild card night. And I, you know, every so often we have an epic call. And, you know, I never know exactly what's going to come up. It usually starts out.
I don't either.
Well, it starts out because I pick a topic and I start a line of questioning along a certain topic. And then suddenly I find myself Oh, my God. Where are we? Where are we going? And I keep going, and one question leads to the next, and something breakthrough comes through. And sometimes it's been on information level, like how things work, how the Old Testament works. You who have been on the calls regularly know what I'm talking about. And by the end of the call, there's a shift. And what's interesting about it is it's not just a shift. It's a permanent shift in the paradigm of the calls. It's like we have moved up a notch in our comprehension, in our expansion. Of course, when we started out, none of us knew anything, including me. And we kept unfolding, unfolding like an onion. Are we unmuted now, Hayes? Hello, Hayes. Are we unmuted? Oh, wait a second.
We are all muted.
Unmute.
You want to unmute?
Unmute people for a moment, okay?
All right. All right.
Unmuted.
Now, you know, when I make a comment like I just made, I'm talking about from my experience. And I always like to run it by people to see if Derek's, I mean, obviously we're all having different experiences, so it's not ever going to be exact. But if you guys could relate to what I just said.
Is anybody going to talk about yesterday's call, the early call?
Well, I'm actually talking about this process of bit by bit by bit. We are all expanding, and we have these epic calls that are not just good information in the moment, but they change the paradigm. It's like something for many people shifts on a subtle level after that call. Like you start seeing the world in a different place. You start noticing your chakras are more open. You know, it's all subtle, but it's bit by bit. It keeps happening. And we're kind of growing as a group, as well as growing individually. And that is my perception. And I wanted to see if some of you have that same perception.
Yes.
Yes.
Can show the gradual process of enlightenment.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yesterday's Earth Sunday call got a bump, especially when Grace came in. I really noticed a shift in the energy.
Mm-hmm.
When Terry was channeling Grace, or about Grace, I don't remember either them or about them.
Yeah. And we had Grace and the Christ consciousness, both coming in. And then what I start noticing is those energies seem to be part of residing in the background of my consciousness. They're not necessarily coming in like a ton of bricks, but I look for it And I say, there it is. And so, therefore, you know, if you have, you may not notice it, but you have impacted your connection to the higher realms in perhaps a permanent way, as long as you don't backslide. But thank you for sharing, Don, because I have noticed the shift in you, okay?
Okay. One more comment I'd like to make is that I am, over the years, I've come to think that spiritual expansion is more of an unfolding, uncovering and unfolding process, like you were just mentioning, than a learning or growth process. It's usually, when you hear something, it's like kind of, it's more like a reminder and cover something than it is actually learning anything new.
Yeah. It's
yeah.
Remembering who you are.
It's kind of, for those of you that are older souls, now, you know, being an old soul does not mean you're higher. I would say there's three different kinds of beings that exist in this realm. Now, this is just me saying this. This is not from a channeling. Number one, there are indigenous beings. In other words, we asked the question at one point, how does a soul connect with a body? And I remember I said, is the Elohim manufacturing souls? And their answer was one of those answers that I would never forget. And they said, the DNA pulls energy out of the field and forms the energy around the DNA to become a soul. And once that energy is formed, it stays formed. It continues. And that it moves along the track. So every time there's a new body, that soul will move into that body, and it will be the same soul that was formed with the original DNA, but now it has new DNA, and now there's an interchange between the DNA of that soul and the DNA of the body, which is obviously a combination of the parents and whatever other influences are connecting. And it's just a never-ending track. And that we're on that track. So an indigenous person would be a person that originated from nothing, from a first event where the energy of the field formed around a DNA and became a new soul, okay? And then you have, so perhaps there's people on this planet, perhaps, that originated that way. And we're just here for so many years, billions of years, millions of years, going along the track and evolving, okay? And then you have souls that have had many, 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 many lifetimes. Now, an indigenous soul might be one that had many, 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 many lifetimes. Are there still beings coming into this realm who are new, being formed by the DNA, and starting fresh at this point? I never asked that question. Somebody should ask it for on a Wednesday, because it's a good question. I have the feeling there may not be too many of them, because there are so many souls vying to have a body, to have an experience in this realm. And it's probably not a good use of bodies for a new soul to be created. But it might be. I don't know what the criteria is for that to occur.
Are souls restricted to human bodies necessarily?
Well, no. Animals have souls too, okay? But, I mean, animals reincarnate, okay? But there is a difference between a human and an animal, okay? Even an evolved animal. In fact, really evolved animals, like a dog, can end up coming in as a human if they've picked up enough energy from being around humans. And I don't know about cats.
Haven't pretty much all human souls gone through animal experiences as a soul and life?
I never asked that question. So ask it on a Wednesday, okay?
Now, what you were saying earlier, so the DNA is actually the seed for a soul. It attracts energy and becomes a soul.
Well, the DNA doesn't become a soul. It attracts the energy of the field based on its configuration, okay? And the soul forms around it. That is an answer they gave me.
But where does the DNA come from?
Well, the DNA is a construction of the Elohim. Or it may have been a construction of Elohim souls or higher evolved souls that were ETs. Like, when you look at our planet and you look at all the beautiful variations of life forms, the animals, all the different animals, all the different flowers and trees, and the way it all comes together, this is a beautiful planet. And it's very sad what's occurring now, and I hope we can get out of it. But there's been a huge amount of intelligences involved. But the first DNA, and this was in our series of how the universe was created, the first DNA was engineered by the Elohim. And then afterwards, I don't have the precise history, but afterwards there were Elohim souls that came into bodies in this realm. I'm sure there were all kinds of variations. There were Elohim souls that came into bodies, Elohim souls that got stuck in bodies, Elohim souls that went back and forth, Elohim souls that were in bodies that became very advanced, and they started seeding and perhaps working with celestial Elohim in terms of seeding the universe, creating life forms, engineering DNA. And it's been this huge, unbelievably imaginable train. Train is not the right word. Moving, expanding, shifting consciousness. Okay? Because one of the things they said in one of those, how the universe was created, was they talked about how projecting energies would create anchor points. And then when the anchor point was established, it would project energy. And everything in the universe projects energy and interacts with everything else to have new creation keep coming in. And in other words, for me, who used to be an astrologer and was totally blown away originally by the fact that astrology worked, I couldn't figure out how it could work. How could planets, how could galaxies affect a human on planet Earth? They're millions of miles away or more, and yet astrology worked. And I proved to myself that it worked because I did all these charts, and I learned to sense the energies. So each of us has a bunch of energies in us that were programmed into our DNA through the astrological configurations. Okay? Now, it's like the Elohim solved that question for me, and it made sense. I think it's the right answer. And they said everything in the universe has frequencies that they're generating. So that means all the planets have frequencies. All the galaxies have frequencies. And you have this energy that's streaming in from source that's moving through the galaxies and the planets. And when it gets to Earth, at the moment that you're born, it programs your DNA with all those configurations. So in a sense, your DNA carries a mirror of the entire universe. Everything from your parents, your past life, to the astrological configurations. And I don't know how the programming actually works, but I know that DNA is complex enough to absorb all those incoming influences, and then we are operating, if we're operating at our highest level, we're operating through those influences. We are not those influences. We are not our DNA. Our DNA is lower than we are, except for most people, and for even you and I, there's areas where we're still trapped into the configurations of our DNA, okay? And when we bring these energies in, like grace and Christ consciousness, we start the process of lifting above. Now, I'm talking from me. I'm not talking from every. If I quote them, I'll tell you. We're not operating within the structure of our DNA. We're operating through it. In other words, it's unlikely you're going to change to have a new body magically while you're in one body. But you can change your relationship to that body. You can operate from above that body and through it. You still have the same forms to operate through, but you're not limited by the forms. They're now like tools for your soul to operate through. Does that make sense? No. Terry, does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
Like when we feel the energy of grace, when we feel the energy of the Christ consciousness, we are feeling an energy that's beyond our DNA. And so we're now learning how to program our DNA, we don't know we're doing it, but it happens. Our DNA gets slowly programmed so it can accommodate these new energies. And you could kind of equate it to driving a car. When you first learn to drive a car, you have to think about everything. There's the brake. Turn right. Where's the clutch? Where's the gear shift? And then after a while, you learn to do all those things automatically, okay? You don't have to think about them. When you see a red light, your car steps on the brake, and it's not like you have to have a thought process that says, step on the brake. It just happens, okay? And then as you get more advanced in driving, and you're driving the same routes often, you start driving the route automatically. You turn. You know the map. You don't have to think about it. Whereas, I know for me, the first time I'm in a new city, I am totally confused because I have nothing on automatic in that situation. So, it's like maybe there's a correlation from that to your DNA and your higher aspects of yourself. When you're first in a body, you have to learn everything. Even if you're a baby, you're figuring out how does this body work? How do you interface? Oh, how do I move my leg? Okay, it's moving. And after a while, it gets more and more automatic, right? And then I learned when I was writing songs, after a while, I was able to operate downwards through my consciousness. And I didn't write a song in a linear way. I was activating aspects of my higher consciousness that would, just like stepping on the gas, it's like I needed to make a rhyme, and suddenly my mind is going through all these rhymes. And it happens automatically, and suddenly I pick one that fits, and I'm processing so much information simultaneously, way beyond than I could ever do in my conscious mind. And before you know it, I look at the song and I say, how the hell did I write that? How did I come up with this flow? I would start out with one line, and then I'd have another line. And I say, what am I writing about? I don't know. Then I have another line, and I say, I think it's about this, and another line. And before you know it, from the first line to the last line, there was a total flow that of congruency. And what would happen would be, if someone heard the song, if they were expanded enough to listen to it in the right way, it would trigger an expansion in them, because they would go through my process, not exactly the process, but the end result of it, and everything would kind of link together. Sometimes when I do a talk on the calls, I start off and I don't know where I'm going to go, and by the time the call is finished, I said, that was really perfect. How did I do that? Because I was activating all these strata of concepts, probably going really high to put it all together. So by the time it was in the physical, it just all flowed. And so I'm like, while I'm talking, I'm keeping track of everything I said already, but I'm not doing it on a conscious level, because I couldn't possibly do that consciously, because there's too much. But I'm keeping track of it, and somehow, I'll bring something in that links to something that I started the track on at the beginning. And I keep doing that. And before you know it, by the end of the talk, it's totally congruent. And I didn't do it. I didn't do it. It was like I was steering it, so to speak, at a conscious level. But I was letting go enough to let all the other levels come in. And there's a lot of ways of creating like that. It doesn't have to just be writing a song. With artists, with painters, I'm sure they'll put their brush on the painting. And I say, I wonder where this is going to go. And then they'll put another brush stroke and another brush stroke. And before you know it, if they're really good, it'll be a totally congruent, touching painting. And I'm sure not every painter paints that way. I'm sure not every songwriter writes songs that way. I remember when I used to listen to Bob Dylan as a kid, I didn't have this concept, but I knew his early songs, I know now when I look back on it, his early songs were written that way. And it's how he got such a depth of meaning in his lyrics. And it amazed me. I don't even think I didn't recognize it in the way I'm talking about it now, but I recognized the process that I was going through. Who's making noise there? Keep an eye out, Hayes, if you don't mind. And
you're faster than I am.
I'm sure some of you, you can have this kind of experience in ways that don't require the talent to be a songwriter. I am sure it took me some lifetimes to develop the talent to be able to operate my consciousness in a multidimensional way so I could pull things up and stack things and have the whole consciousness working for me to make something come out that was touching, you know? And I didn't. I think channeling works in a similar way.
Muted.
Channeling works in a similar way. I think that's Terry. Terry, are you making noise?
If I am, I don't know how, but I'll mute myself.
Well, I don't want you to mute because I like talking to you.
Oh, okay. I don't think I'm making noise.
Okay. Now, can you relate to the process I'm talking about?
I can. I have like more details on it, like the information feels like it's coming from the outside of me, and I have to orient to the back, to do it more from the back of my brain or more in the center of my brain than ordinary thinking. It's definitely not the frontal lobes or anything like that.
See, I think in my case, I may get information. In fact, I'm sure I sometimes do. It goes beyond my own matrix, okay?
I think you do. You do.
But it feels to me like my matrix is just getting bigger, and I'm including a whole another strata of consciousness. Okay.
Well, what I find is the concepts, the ideas, they play on on my, you might call my matrix. And sometimes if I question, are they really there, then they show me the color pink. Or they say to me, we got it, don't worry, or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? You don't have the stair step as well developed as I do. Okay? You know, the strata of all the layers of consciousness where you can move up the strata. But you have a higher upper reach than I do.
Yeah.
It's interesting. And I have more of the strata, which means I can handle the lower levels at the strata they come in on.
Yeah.
I can create protection in the lower levels of strata because
uh-huh.
I'm in them. You don't have, this is from my look at it, you don't have the lower levels of strata as well mastered as I do. But your upper reach is beyond anything I could even imagine, right? So.
Yeah, and it's like I don't get negatively attacked because I just, it's like once you tune in, you know that you're there.
Yeah.
And it's, you're locked in.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what I'm saying, there's a level of this that can be applicable to everyone. It's not linear, so you can't just say, what's the technique? How do I do this? But if you start considering that you're multidimensional and your dimensions are like strata, and that when you start operating at the top of those dimensions, then you organize all the ones that are lower and they work on your behalf. If you
uh-huh.
operate in the lower strata, then it's more linear and more cumbersome, okay?
If you want some kind of control over an area, even if it's a small area or like a company or a house or something, then you get bigger, then that, so you encompass all the factors, and then you can start to be able to move with it
mm-hmm.
or change it.
Like somebody might notice it for themselves where they're having a conversation with somebody, and suddenly they become more brilliant than they usually are. They become more
right.
insightful. They're
uh-huh.
tuning into the other person, and they say things that are triggered by the consciousness of the other person. And the conversation is deep and meaningful, as opposed it's close to linear and talking about mundane things and politics. And I wonder, did you hear from Mary lately? How's she doing? You know, that's a common source of conversation, talking about points of commonality. So we're talking about understanding the process of going up in the strata and talking through yourself rather than in the area, residing in the area where the communication is taking place. Of course, you're doing both simultaneously, and that's what it means to be multidimensional. It was interesting in that thing that I read the other night, on Whole Planet Healing, you know, we were talking about how big you can get. I don't know if you noticed that. I asked the Elohim if when they made a galaxy, when they created a galaxy, when they spun a galaxy out, were they bigger than the galaxy? And then I asked, did the galaxy get bigger as it evolved? And they said, we're always bigger than the galaxy. I mean, I didn't ask them. I said, are you bigger than the universe? I should have asked that. They probably would have said yes. Okay? But then they said, we on the call can be bigger than a galaxy. And that there are times when we do that on whole planet healing. Now, maybe not everyone, and they said this, not everyone was able to do it. But there were certain people that were expanding their energy to be big. And they said, I was doing that and Terry was doing that. And I can understand that. I can see that. And this all came about because we were talking about grace and the Christ consciousness. And there are energies of grace and Christ consciousness that are always on these calls as kind of a background program. But yesterday, both of them became not so much of a background program, but front and center for the people that could feel it. Now, don't feel bad if you couldn't feel it, okay? Everyone's at their own level. And sometimes, if you keep coming to these calls, eventually you'll learn to identify those energies. I am sure that some of you experience the energy as part of the background program and don't realize it, okay? Even when you're on the call and say, oh, I feel really peaceful when I come to these calls, or I feel loving. I would guess that when you're experiencing that, you're in the background program of the higher consciousnesses, the Christ consciousness and grace consciousness. And there may be others that I'm not even identifying, but I know those two are very powerful. And what's interesting is on certain calls, particularly yesterday's call, the aspect of grace and the aspect of the Christ consciousness, and particularly the Christ consciousness, was front and center. I could feel it. I could feel they were talking about it, and I could feel a presence in the center of my chest, in my heart, that was expanding, and radiant. It's hard to describe, because it's not a normal experience that people have vocabulary for. And the energy of grace is more subtle. It's not as experiential, at least from me. It's not that experiential. How about you, Terry? Do you relate to that? You were channeling, and so you may have been more preoccupied in holding the channeled energy than feeling the energy expanding inside you, okay?
Yeah, no, I don't pay attention to feeling the energy. There is energy connected with when they project to me the energy turns, like I can get a concept. Sometimes there's no words for it, but I feel it projecting upon my matrix like a mirror, like as if I'm a mirror and it's projecting on me. But
yeah.
I don't sit there and go, say, oh, listen, look at this energy. I don't do that.
Mm-hmm. Well,
but sometimes I try to zero in, and then they send me energy that translates into a light pink light. It's like their calling card. They don't always, they do sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're all different. But it's interesting because when I talked about this, I know Don felt it. And let's see here.
Unmuted.
Did anyone experience it in a similar way that I was describing? Did anyone experience it in the way that I wasn't describing? A different feeling inside themselves?
Are they unmuted?
I was feeling the energy, but not really as an expansion. I was feeling sort of a general energy of the Christ consciousness idea, but then felt it, like I said before, I felt it shift into something kind of different when Terry either channeled grace or channeled about grace. I'm not sure what she was doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt a shift then.
That's true for me, too.
I don't get it as a feeling. I mean, everybody's talking about feelings. And those are reactions. I get a sense of it, an awareness, and a presence. I can sense the presence of.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I sense it. I can recognize it. I just know it. There's a presence there, and time to communicate. And
yeah, that might be a better way to describe
it. I don't get it as a feeling. I don't get it as energy. I just get it as a presence. Like I know you're present. You know, you're not an energy. You're creating it.
I agree.
Well,
also, the idea of the feeling and sensing it, knowing it, sensing it, and feeling it all kind of blur together for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I also agree that could be a better way to describe it than a feeling.
I mean, it's not easy to describe it because it's different, you know?
It's like we were just being it.
Yeah. It's kind of
it's like an acknowledgement.
Exactly.
Like I can acknowledge it in all different senses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know what? Everyone's going to have it. Go ahead.
Sometimes they tune in. I mean, they'll go. It's beyond words. There's no words for this, but they will. They will look for Lauren's soul signature, and then they'll say, Lauren's not here. Or they'll say, Lauren's here. Or they'll look for Carolyn's or Heiss's soul frequency, and they'll say, Carolyn's there. And they'll tune in. And sometimes it'll be somebody that hasn't been on the call before. And they will tune in, and they'll say, wow, he's intently listening. Or they'll say, like, oh, very rarely, well, you know, he is not getting it at all.
Well,
and sometimes they will try to, you know, they will fuss out why he's not getting it, and then they'll start to address him, and his concerns or whatever he's got going on. And then and then his attention will refocus and he will start getting interested again.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will say
when you're paying attention, they pick up on that.
Yes.
They get it immediately.
I will say that I am convinced that when we are on these calls and you are on these calls, they are constantly scanning you and looking for...
Well, they scan other people, too.
Well, I don't mean that they don't scan other people, but I mean being on these calls is indicating you're reaching, especially if you keep coming back, okay? You know, some people come on the call...
You need to move on, guys.
Huh?
We need to move on.
We need to move on?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Is our time?
It's 6:59.
Oh, my God. It's one of those nights. Well, all that's important is if you're on this call, you're most likely being paid attention to. And the more open you can open to that idea, the more easy it might be for them to influence you or to connect energetically with you, because they don't want to scare people. And some people would be scared. Even if it's a great feeling, they'd be scared. Okay, we're moving over to Whole Planet Healing. Thank you to everyone in BBS for listening. Whole Planet Healing. 712-770-4340. 250-513. 712-770.
4340.
Say that again.
4340.
And the PIN access is 250-513 pound. And we'll see you in a moment. Thank you for being here.
Thank you from Seattle. Love to you all.
This session is no longer being recorded.